You focus on the breath. Think of the whole body breathing. Every cell is engaged in the flow of energy. So the breath feels spacious, loosens up any patterns of tension in the different parts of the body. So it feels good to be here inside your body. Now, if you have any diseases or any chronic pains, work around them. Instead of focusing on the pains, focus on the areas of the body that can be made comfortable, that do feel spacious and open. Because an important principle of right concentration is that there is pleasure and there's rapture. The word for rapture, bitti, can also be translated as refreshment or fullness. A sense of real well-being. It's an important element in the path, because without this pleasure, without this sense of fullness, there are a lot of parts of the path that are difficult. And if you don't have the energy that comes from the sense of well-being, it's hard to master them. But if you feel well-nourished, at ease, the mind is in a good mood, the body feels strong from good breathing, it's a lot easier to master some of the more difficult parts of the path. And to pry your mind away from a lot of its other attachments. A lot of us come to the meditation thinking that we're just going to add one more type of pleasure to our stock or to our repertoire, on the principle that pleasure needs variety. You have pleasures that come by way of the eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body. All kinds of ways you can think about your pleasures that dress them up and make them attractive. But they have their limitations. So here's another type of pleasure. So part of the mind says, well, let's just add this pleasure to the stock. So we have a little bit more variety here. And it's not necessary to totally abandon physical pleasure, sensual pleasure, in order to meditate. But you do have to realize that some pleasures work at cross purposes. And every type of pleasure has its price. And it's not the money that you pay for it so much, it's what it does to the mind. What kind of karmic consequences it has within what you do in order to maintain the pleasure. And then what happens to your mind. Because a lot of pleasures that actually weaken the mind, weaken your powers of concentration, weaken your alertness, weaken your sense of heedfulness, which is what lies at the base of all your skillful qualities. And so many pleasures require that things outside be a certain way. And you're not going to be happy unless they are that certain way. That actually weakens the mind. You find yourself creating a hothouse environment. And only within that hothouse environment can you be happy. You step outside of it and you can't stand it. We all know about hothouse plants. They're perfectly fine as long as the temperature is just right, the humidity is just right. But you change anything and they die. That's the way it is with a lot of our pleasures. They require that society be a certain way, have reached a certain level of development. When you stop and think about how much your sensual pleasures are dependent on a huge network, a very fragile network that could break down at any time, you begin to realize it's pretty scary. And yet to really enjoy those pleasures, you have to forget about that. That's what leads to heedlessness. And you start blocking out huge areas of your awareness. That's a price you have to pay as well. Then think of all the different analogies the Buddha has for sensual pleasures, and particularly our attachment to sensuality, which is something different. This attachment to sensuality is the way we like to think about sensual pleasures and plan sensual pleasures. That, the Buddha said, is the real problem. You know, a dinner can take only a half hour or so, but you can spend hours and hours planning for it and then hours thinking about it afterwards. And a lot of our pleasures are like that. There's just a little bit of touch at the senses and then it's gone. But then the stories we build up around these things before and after can consume the mind. And when that's what your pleasure is, then you're taking pleasure in areas that leave you exposed to all kinds of dangers. Think about common animals. We mostly know about dogs and cats because we've raised individual dogs and cats in our houses. But being at the monastery in Thailand taught me an awful lot about dogs and cats when they're in packs. And the most dangerous time in any dog or cat's life is when they're indulging in a pleasure. It might be food or sex or sleep, even defecating. That's when they tend to get attacked. And so you have to be especially wary during those times. And when you think about the times when you're really indulging in a pleasure, you're pretty oblivious. It leaves you exposed. The Buddha talks about sensuality as being like a piece of meat that one raptor has gotten hold of, and all these other raptors come up and try to take it away. It's like borrowed goods. You borrow somebody's nice goods, and you travel around, and people admire you for having those goods, but then the owners find out about it, and they take them away. So much of our pleasure depends on things that other people can take away very easily. What you want is a pleasure that nobody else knows about, and a pleasure that doesn't require that things be a certain way. This is why we work on the concentration, to develop that kind of pleasure within. And even though that the pleasure of concentration may not be the ultimate goal, it is part of the path. And even though it may be temporary, it's a lot more solid and reliable than the pleasures of sensuality. Sometimes you hear warnings about the dangers of getting attached to the pleasure of jhana, the pleasure of concentration. But they're nothing compared to the pleasures, the dangers of being attached to sensual pleasures. People can kill over sensuality. They lie and they steal and they cheat. I don't know anybody who's done that over jhana. This is a totally harmless form of pleasure we're working on here. And you realize in order to get really good at it, you have to loosen up your attachment to a lot of sensual thinking. I think it's an important element in getting the mind to settle down like this is to be with a body and yet not think of it in sensual terms. Think of it simply as the shape you're inhabiting right now. It's got those elements of coolness and warmth, energy, heaviness. How can you bring those into balance? Not if you're thinking about the body in sensual terms. And the more consistently you can occupy the body from the inside like this, then the stronger the concentration. It's always important to note that fact that when the Buddha talks about the different levels of noble attainments, the noble attainment that signals the full mastery of concentration is also the noble attainment where you've totally abandoned any attachment to sensuality, any passion for sensuality. So these two types of pleasure, even though it is possible to enjoy them alternatively, to some extent, there comes a point where the question comes, which pleasure do you want to place your hopes in? Which pleasure do you want to rely on? Which pleasure do you trust? Which of the pleasure is not going to have a huge bill at the end, big karmic tallying? It's got to be the pleasure of concentration. That's the one you can rely on. That's the one that really does nourish all kinds of good things in the mind, actually strengthens the mind. And unlike sensual pleasures, it puts you in a more solid and safer position. Nobody has to know about this. One of my favorite lines in a John Lee is when he talks about the attainments that come from the practice. He says they're entirely private. Nobody has to know, and only when nobody else knows about them. Only when nobody knows about your pleasures, that's when you're totally safe. So although it is possible to practice meditation as simply one more pleasure in your range of pleasures, there comes a point when you have to calculate, tally up the bill. What's the price of the different pleasures? And how much does your attachment to sensual thinking eat into and weaken the pleasure that you get out of the concentration? So you have to do the calculation yourself. But keep in mind that every pleasure has its price, and the price doesn't last only as long as this lifetime. There are lifetimes to come. One of the reasons we're afraid of death is because of our attachment to sensuality. Anything you can do to overcome that attachment can take a lot of the edge off that knowledge that someday we're all going to have to pass on. And if you're carrying the treasure of concentration with you, it's a lot easier, both now and on into the next lifetime. So calculate these things for yourself, but remembering that everything does have a price in karmic terms. Which price do you want to pay? With the sense that you got a good deal.